Welcome to another episode of Sharing the Hope. I'm your host, Patrick Mason, from the Mike and Mason Foundation, and today we are joined by Whitney Pierce. Whitney Pierce is a nurse coordinator at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, working with CHAMP, Cardiac High Acuity Monitoring Program. She has been in this position for about a year and a half. Prior to that, she worked on a cardiac floor as a bedside nurse at the same hospital for roughly 10 years. She knew from a very young age that she wanted to go into nursing and credits the great nurses she had for herself, since Whitney is also an adult living with single ventricle physiology. Whitney, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, very wonderful to have you. I'm really excited having both a nurse and a patient, getting as many angles as we can in one go. It's great. Well, good deal. So I usually start this off by asking, how did you get involved? But I think it's pretty clear how you got involved. So tell us your story. Like, how did you become aware of your condition? What was your experience with your condition growing up? And then how did you kind of move that into sort of a medical career?
Yeah, it's kind of strange because, I mean, it's all I've ever known. Having a Fontan at 5 years old, like, I remember being in kindergarten and being restricted as far as exercise. So all of my memories, I have always known that, like, this heart problem was part of who I was, but it really didn't make me feel different until probably as I got older, like middle school, high school, and then definitely in adulthood, you definitely see how you are different from your peers. But I also grew up with four brothers who took no pity, so was not babied from them. So very much, yes, I remember vividly after one heart surgery, asking one of my brothers for help doing something, and their response was, well, your arms aren't broken.
So, wow.
Yes. They didn't really let that factor into being treated differently. But as far as going into the medical side, I think there was a short stint of my life where I wanted to be the first woman in the NFL. Obviously, that wasn't going to happen. So that short-lived dream, I went in for a cath at the age of 11. I mean, when you're 11 and trying to understand what is going on, you can't really wrap your head around. You see people around you being scared, like your family is anxious about this procedure. You know you're going to be put to sleep. So as an 11-year-old, it's really hard to understand and make sense of what's going on. So I know that I was not acting like the best version of myself and probably was acting a little bratty. But the nurse that I had was very patient and gave me the tiniest sip of water after what I believe she gave me was probably something for anxiety. Took this medicine. It tasted terrible. I was NPO. She gave me the smallest amount of water to wash it down. And ever since then, I'm like, I want to be a nurse. So really at 11, that's what made me decide that's what I wanted to change my career goals from the NFL to nursing. And then I had a surgery at the age of 21. And so ended up recovering from that surgery on the same unit I later went to work on. And really, I just always had a love for cardiac, given all the time I spent on my own researching it. And it's hard not to love it when it affects you personally. So cardiac has always been something I've been very interested in and eventually went into.
Okay. So you have single ventricle physiology. Did you go through the three surgeries? You're in Fontan physiology, is that?
Fontan physiology, yes. I am not a hypoplastic left, so I didn't have the traditional first Norwood, but I did have a co-arc repair starting off and then went a Glenn and then Fontan. And then later at the age of 21, had to have some revisions. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And so you're hypoplastic right heart?
Yeah, a double inlet left ventricle, hypoplastic right. Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of words there.
And I will say, working in the department I work in and seeing so many different defects, sometimes it takes me a minute to think like, okay, but what is mine? Because you hear so many words every day and you're like making pictures for all these families and you're like, okay, what one belongs to me? But yes, incredible how many variations are out there and how different things can be, but how really it's these set surgeries for all of them.
Yeah, I've noticed that it's sort of every kid's heart's obviously a little different. And, you know, we were fairly blessed with Micah. He just has hypoplastic left heart syndrome.
Say that like it.
Right. Yeah, like that. Yeah. But it's like the severest version it could be. Like, he doesn't have like anything over there. But there's lots of children who have a variety of heart conditions on top of the single ventricle condition. So you said you were a bedside nurse for 10 years.
Yeah.
Which hospital?
Children's Mercy.
Okay. So what was your experience doing that?
I loved it. It was, you saw a wide variety of ages. So anywhere, we saw a lot of infants because a lot of these babies are the ones that are having surgery, but also up into early 20s, and just a vast amount of different defects, arrhythmia issues, post-surgical. I really liked it. I will say it was also a little bit difficult because I saw the sickest of the sick and also kids that would come in with the Fontan, and their Fontan was failing. So it's a little bit hard mentally working with them and knowing like, okay, this could be you one day, but also trying to be grateful and also feeling guilty that they're worse off than you are. So there's a lot of emotions that went in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I like to think that it made me more empathetic because a lot of the things, like, nobody likes to get up and walk after surgery. I know that. But I'd be the first to make them do that. And when they complained about it, sometimes I didn't have the most sympathy because I'm like, you know what? I did it too. I know it sucks. But I do think it made me a little bit more empathetic just to what they were going through and having compassion because I know how much the things I was doing to them hurt and how hard it was to be in the hospital and how much anxiety comes with it.
Yeah, it's a different thing when you've been there, right? Were your coworkers aware that you had single ventricle condition?
Yeah, when I first started as a nurse, there was actually a nurse on the unit who had taken care of me. I had a surgery at 21. So she had been one of the nurses, and I remembered her because she was a very memorable girl. So I approached her when I first started, and I was like, hey, you took care of me. So yeah, word travels pretty fast when that's the case. When people find out that you're a Fontan, some people told family, and yeah, pretty much the whole unit knew at some point.
Yeah, we like to say, I work in a power plant. We like to say there's no secrets inside the power plant. I imagine the hospital is the same way.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the scar isn't always that easy to hide. So especially working on the cardiac floor, people are trained to like see that. I've had families notice it before. And I don't even realize that it's showing, but like they see the smallest amount of that scar and they're like, what did you have done? So, yeah.
Okay. Did you become something of a go-to person for kids or people who were coming out of surgery for Fontan? Or
I didn't share it a ton with families because, well, I used to not talk about it as much as I do now. In the last couple of years, I've tried to become more of an advocate and speak out more about Fontan. But prior, like, my coworkers knew, and we'd like make jokes about it. I have a very dark sense of humor, so we would make jokes about it. But as far as families, I didn't ever want it to be about me and seeing all the variety of outcomes. I never wanted someone to think, I didn't want to lead them astray. Not everybody will go down the same path that I was, and I was afraid of meddling with what their current circumstances were. But there were select families that if I thought, I think it would help them to hear this, to know that like this small blip hospital stay in the grand scheme of this kiddo's life, like maybe if I can tell them the nurse that's been taking care of them for the past 2 months is actually one, if I thought it would be helpful to them, then I would share. And I thought that they wouldn't use me for medical advice because that has happened before. And I think that that has helped them vastly. So for those families that I had opened up to, I think it did mean a lot to them. I got really good feedback. Sometimes I was their favorite solely based on that, and that's okay. I will let it happen.
Well, good deal. So tell me about CHAMP.
So CHAMP follows infants during interstage. So we follow all our single ventricle kids in the interstage period. So really up until they have their Glenn or whichever surgery they may have at that point, because sometimes it varies. It's like home monitoring. So we follow them while they're in the hospital and do a lot of teaching with families. Round on them while they're on the cardiac floor, which is the one I used to work on. Round on them and then prepare them for discharge, do a lot of teaching with families, and then send them home with an application that they will enter data in, including heart rate, oxygen, which they check twice a day, awake, and a brief 15-second video that they all log into that app. And then we see on our end in the real time. So it's a lot. These are like the same patients that I worked with, part of the same population I worked with. I was a bedside nurse, but completely different aspect of their care. A very rewarding job.
Good. So how did you become involved with NPC-QIC?
So when transitioning to this role, the nurse coordinator role, our facility is one of the partners in NPC. So through that, through this job change, I became aware of NPC. Prior, as a bedside nurse, I had, I think, zero. I think it's safe to say zero knowledge of NPC. But in this role, the data collection and entry, and then conferences.
Okay. How many have you been to the learning sessions?
Two. I have been to two.
Okay.
Yes, this year and then last November.
Yes. Yeah, the two Chicago conferences, basically.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd heard maybe it was somewhere else before that, but yeah, before my time.
It's been, at least since I started going, it's been in Cincinnati and it's been in Chicago. I've slowly been lobbying to see if we can get it a further south.
I support. Although the one Chicago, it was great weather this year.
Yes. Yes, it was.
We got lucky. Last year was really cold in November.
It was. It did snow, I think, the last day of the conference.
It was really cold.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So what was your experience of NPC-QIC in the learning session?
It is wild to me. I think the biggest takeaway I have, and I've talked to my coworkers about this recently, is I have a passion for cardiology because I was forced into this life. Not saying everybody that has a Pontian has to go down this path, but I've always been very interested in it because it affects me. And therefore, I want to know about it. And I also want to empower others who are like me to have the best care, to have the knowledge, to be able to advocate for themselves. So this is all I've ever known. And I don't know if I was not born with a heart defect. I don't know if I would be this passionate about it. So going to NPC and seeing how many people from how many different centers all care about Fontans and single ventricles is mind-blowing. Like they don't have to. They don't have to care about this, but they, so many people are spending so much time, so much energy into researching and trying to give us the best care possible is insane to me. I mean, I love it, but yeah, it's just crazy to think that they don't have to do this and they choose to. There are other people passionate about this that don't have to be passionate about it.
Yeah, it's a good kind of crazy, right?
It is. It is.
Are you part of any particular groups within NPC-QIC? Is there any particular?
Not yet. When I first joined this job, and I mean, I'm a year and a half in, so I'm not exactly new, but it is a lot to take in and to try and navigate. I mean, I work with my team on things, but as far as like taking the lead on anything, I have not done that yet. I have tried to get involved with FON, and I've tried to join a work group through that, but we will see. They just had like an open call for participants, so I have volunteered, but we don't know yet who they're choosing.
Okay. So you're involved in the Fontana Outcomes Network as well.
Yeah, I feel like I have to be. Yeah.
Well, yeah, right? What's kind of the thing about the organizations, either NPC-QIC or FON, or maybe both, that kind of excites you the most? Like, what's being worked on that you're really interested in?
For NPC, our center is become very devoted to helping tube weaning. So we have incorporated speech therapists into all of our clinic appointments, and they have so much knowledge. They're so good at their job. And I think have been underutilized for a very long time. Just seeing them in the, being able to see our patients every month, just a vast difference in how these kiddos are progressing. So using the knowledge from NPC and all their tube weaning is helping our patients in this quickly, like seeing changes pretty fast. And then for FON, I'm very interested in physical activity and exercise. I attended the single ventricle patient day 2 years ago, and there was a panel of physicians. A takeaway from that, that was my first single ventricle patient day. So I had never been to like anything aimed at patients themselves as far as any type of conference. I've always attended like the medical side, gone for work, but never as a patient. And my takeaway from that was we all need to be exercising. So I ran with it. Prior to that, I had not been very, I'm an active person. I don't like to sit still, but as far as actually doing workouts, I'd always was deterred just because I'm always going to be the last person done in the group. It's just always how it's going to be. But my takeaway from that was you need to do some exercise. So I've been aggressively exercising and I'm just very interested in what they will see and how patients going forward will be medically with this knowledge.
Yeah, I think in 2022, I remember the it was sort of a, okay, we've done a complete 180. It's now we've gone from no exercise to, okay, you really need to exercise. And then this past year, it was sort of, no, you don't just need to exercise. You have to exercise. Like they like ramped it up a notch.
Yeah. And it is, I think I've been trying to get my, and I mean, we work with infants, so those babies aren't going to be exercising, but we've been trying to tell those families, because I think one of the biggest hurdles or one of the hardest things to figure out is there's so much that is out of our control as families and patients. Like we can't control so much of what goes on, but you can exercise, even if you're not running miles and miles. So we started telling our families, like the one thing you can do is help them exercise. So hopefully, I'm hoping that our families hearing that from day one, essentially, that will be ingrained. And then they'll carry that on through the Fontaine. And when they are in elementary school and middle school and on, that hopefully they can remember that advice and start them young, because it won't be as hard as when you're my age and starting to go to the gym.
Yeah. If you've got the muscle memory there for sports or for physical activity, it's easier to get back into it than if you don't.
I think also when you get, I know there's super Fontaines out there and they can do more exercise than I ever could. But I think when you start them at a young age and they're very comfortable with their capabilities and they're okay with not being the first one done and that's all they've ever known, I think it's a lot easier than going into it at high school age and feeling left out because you don't feel like you're keeping up. I think once you're used to it, it will be easier to manage.
Yeah, I remember in 2022, the physical exercise folks got up and they had us all stand up and sit multiple times in the chair. And then, you know, after, you know, a minute of that or whatever it was, they were like, okay, now feel your heart, right? It's going crazy. It's beating like crazy. And then like, now imagine you have a heart condition. Do you know that's normal? Are you freaking out about that? Like what would your, and so if you're from a young age, if you're active and you're involved in exercise or sports, then you know, okay, I just ran a mile. This is what my heart normally feels like when I run a mile. If I do it and it feels different, then I know, versus the, if I haven't exercised and I exercise and my heart feels crazy, then is this normal? Is this okay? Am I, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. Once you're used to it, it's not quite as scary.
So you're becoming involved in Fontan or the Fontan Outcomes Network, MPCQIC. What's sort of your goal being involved in the organization?
So like I said a little bit earlier, I'd always been kind of quiet about having a single ventricle. But lately, I want to be more involved. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge of having being a patient and being in the hospital setting as well. So I want to just overall just be more involved. So hopefully if I'm able to join that physical activity and exercise work group and be more hands-on with what is going on, throw out ideas and be in like the forefront of the changes that are made or recommendations. For NPC, I feel like everybody on my team has something they're very passionate about, like some area that they specifically want to improve upon. And I'm still trying to figure out in this role what that is, but I'm hoping that at some point I will find something that I'm like, that is it. And I want to do some type of research or make changes there. So waiting around right now, we're feeding with some other people in my group babies. So we're working on that. But I hope that one day I will find something that I'm able to research, make changes, and then incorporate into what we're doing at our facility.
Good deal. So what would you say your personal goal is in this sort of realm?
Becoming more involved, encouraging others to as well. I had just talked to one of my coworkers and we talked about like, do we think that we're doing a very good job of letting our families know that all these resources are out there and encouraging them to go to MPC and see what information that they have and just by heart. I think really in getting involved on my part, but then also sharing to others how they can also get involved.
That dovetails pretty well into the next question, which is, if anybody was listening to the podcast and was interested in getting involved, what's your advice?
I would say talk to your care team because they probably have a lot of knowledge. But also, if you are in any Facebook group, there's a lot of information shared between families and patients themselves about what type of organizations they like. So talk to anybody that you know and get their recommendations. Try it out. You don't have to love all of them, but see where you fit. But also your care team should have a lot of information.
Good deal. Okay, so this is a curveball question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but this harkens back to the Facebook groups and some of the social media. The concept for this podcast was born out of seeing people who were diagnosed, you know, prenatally typically, and who spoke to a cardiologist who maybe wasn't up on the times, you know, who had heard about hypoplastic left heart syndrome when they were in medical school 20 years ago. And at that time, it was a very different diagnosis. And so if you were to encounter somebody who was in that position, what advice would you have for them?
I would always recommend getting a second opinion. There are several of our families who have gotten feedback like that, and they are distraught. And I feel like that is something they carry forever. Unfortunately, those comments made, especially that early on, you're in a vulnerable situation. I don't think our families ever truly forget those comments, even if we try over and over again to explain to them that that's not the case. But get a second opinion from a center that sees a lot of hypoplasts and get their recommendations. And then also, they're me being one of them. I'm not a hypoplastic left, but it goes to show you that you can live with a single ventricle. I'm 35 and working as a nurse. So take it with a grain of salt, especially if they are not up to the time, and get a second opinion from somebody that maybe is.
Thank you for the answer. It was a good answer. All right. So final question. Where is Mercy?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri. That always throws me off. I'm like, why?
Well, we also have clinics in Kansas. So people will get really salty. People from Kansas City get really salty when you refer to them from the wrong area, but really I don't. It's all kind of one. So I won't take offense.
So if I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, where do I have to go eat?
Kansas City is known for its barbecue. So I feel like you would have to go for barbecue. My favorite, which it is bougie. the best bougie barbecue, I think, is Q39. It's a little bit more expensive. It's like a nicer restaurant, but it's so good. And their wing, it's an appetizer, but their wings are delicious. I've never had a bad experience there. The food is great. But if you want more of like the traditional wait in the line wrapped around the building outside, small hole in the wall, Slaps barbecue is also really good.
So Slaps?
Slaps. And Q39.
Okay.
Q39 is bougie. Slaps is.
I'm a Texas boy and I've never heard bougie barbecue. That's that's,
well,
awesome.
Yeah. I have a friend that loves barbecue and he's like, that's a little high end for me. I like it when somebody else is paying. I'm like, it's really not that expensive. But people, when compared to other barbecue restaurants, I guess it's maybe a little bit more expensive. But so people love they have their barbecue and they stand behind it and they will not navigate away from it. So
it's true.
Pretty seriously.
And I have to ask, because it's barbecue, I have found that there is plenty of good barbecue out there. Like, I'm not going to claim Texas has a lock on, but I do find that different areas of the country do better different kinds of barbecue. So what would you say is the best, or what dish would you get?
I always get burnt ends.
Okay.
I really like burnt ends. But I think a lot of it comes down to the sausage, because I also try barbecue in other places. And I feel like Texas is more like vinegar sauce, vinegar based, which I also love. But I feel like Kansas City is more like sweet, thicker sauce. So you always have to have pickles with it, no matter where you're eating.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's a requirement.
See, in at Q39, you have to pay extra for pickles. So that's my only
gift. What?
Yeah, I know the owner's daughter, and I'm like, where are we getting this changed? This is the standard. It should be a standard. But
pay extra for pickles. What is that?
No. Maybe that's why people think it's bougie.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yes.
Whitney, it's been fantastic talking to you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us or the community at large?
Just wanted to get an update on your son.
Oh, Micah. Yeah, he's doing well. We've got him enrolled in the Fontan Clinic at Dallas Children's now. Everything looked pretty good. His liver is already starting to, I want to say plasticize is maybe the word, but they said it's about where it's expected to be at his age. He's doing well. You know, it's funny. I think maybe a couple weeks before we went in for his first appointment, we had gone to Arizona. We had done a bunch of hiking and climbed a mountain. And they asked us, like, so how long does it take him for him to slow down? And it's like, he doesn't slow down. He climbed a mountain. Mom and me, we were the ones complaining. He did fine.
How old is he?
He's 8.
8, okay.
Yeah, just turned 8.
Okay, so. Well, it sounds like he's got the exercise down.
Yeah, we just got to get it. We're trying to figure out, like, what he wants to do. Because it's good in the summer. It's easy at swimming. That's done deal. But the fall and the winter is the harder part. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, but he's doing well. Thank you for asking. I really appreciate it.
Good.
Well, Whitney, like I said, it's been wonderful having you on, and really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you for being involved and doing all you do for advocacy. I know it's awesome when we have somebody who is both a patient and who's involved in the medical community. You can speak on so many fronts. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.